Radio Verulam, the voice of local football. Sponsored by Romans of St Albans, your luxury sports and 4x4 specialists. Call Romans now on 01727 858 8000 or visit romansofstalbans.co.uk.
The news, the views covering your teams.
This is the Radio Verulam local football show
from St Albans
on 92.6 FM.
Good evening and once again welcome and thank you for joining us on the local football show here on 92.6 FM and online at Radio Verulam. Well, the 2021-22 season has started for all our other local teams this weekend, so we are here to get you or keep you up to date with the results, news, views and fixtures coming our way, including tonight. So with this in mind, tonight we bring you highlights and reaction to our live coverage at Clarence Park on Saturday, where the Saints went down to a 3-1 defeat to Dartford. We also hear Ian Allison's post-match reaction. Johnny shares an update in regard to all other local team news, views, fixtures and results so far. I catch up with Dean Bradford, club secretary of Leverstock Green and at the Pancake Lane Club. Have had a great start to the season under new management, so Dean will share his thoughts. We also speak with the inclusion coordinator at St Albans City Youth. Welcome to the show, Tracy Light. Chris Tillen speaks with Saints new debutant and youngster Hugh Dawson. And if you want to hear how the Saints B team get on tonight playing against our very own Sandridge Rovers at Clarence Park, well, join us on live commentary via the football red button on radioverulam.com. Johnny Seabrook and I will be on commentary for the first half. Then we have a guest from the Saints management team. So tune in from around 7:35 PM to see who that will be. And finally, as always, we have another football theme anthem of the week to share with you this evening. So all will be revealed. So let's get cracking and start with match highlights from Saturday's defeat to Dartford in the National League South opener.
Welcome to Clarence Park for Radio Verulam's live commentary here on Saturday the 14th of August, and Tom's won the toss. They're going to change sides, so it looks like the Saints are going to be shooting into the Clarence Park end in the first half. So, and there we go, Sean Jeffers kicks off. So Jeffers is going up, supported by Mitchell Vice. As we know, they're using that sort of clockwork between one stays, one moves. Mitchell Vice goes to the front post, he leaves it, he comes to the edge of the box, Akinola shoots, it just comes off a defender but he falls, and it is a free kick against the Saints in the box. This is Dartford on the attack, they're on the edge of the Saints box. There's a cross coming in, comes to number 90, he skets his head to it and Pete, he's missed an opener.
That was a sitter, wasn't
it? What has happened? Number 9, so who's that? Jake Robinson, he got to the front post. Dartford still on the attack, Devante Stanley's got to get there. There's a call for a penalty and well done referee, Devante Stanley actually got fouled. This is Dartford again just breaking up a Saints attack. They're in midfield, Akinola's coming back to block, good work from Akinola. Sean Jeffers is down in the Dartford half, he's back on his feet, long high ball again over the head of Tom Bender, and this man Leonard, he does cross it, he comes into number 9, he's hit the crossbar again. That should have been a goal for Dartford, and what a beautiful cross from that danger man Leonard. He came in behind Tom Bender, he came into number 9 again, Jake Robinson. He should have scored, he was on the 6-yard box, he headed it down, well, it bounced
that's
up
what
and
they
hit
teach
the
you to do, textbook, head it down into the ground and it bounced too high for it.
Well, I tell you what, that should twice. Be 2-0, that should be to now. Dartford. Yep. Not because Dartford are playing better, but because this number 9 for Dartford, Jake Robinson, has had two clear-cut headers, Pete.
Yeah, and he's wasted them both, hasn't he? I'm not sure he's the pacist, which I think is why he took Jeffers out earlier. Anyway,
this is Aziz on the ball. It looked like it was another dangerous attack for Dartford, but Devante Stanley and Joy McKenna have just slowed it down. Zane's managed to get the ball. He's looking for Akinola. He goes high. Akinola's on the run. He's down this full-back, and Tom Bonner's coming across. Referee! He's got to be a foul. It's a foul. Tom Bonner, the guy we've been talking about, he's the referee. He's going to his book. Akinola was 1-1 down the right-hand side. It's going to be at least a yellow card. Akinola was taken out. The ball was thrown along. Akinola's rolling around down. The physio comes on. We've just been talking about this, Pete. This referee has got to get control of Tom Bonner. He's going to give him a yellow card. Oh, good play by the Saints to close down. Kyron Wilson manages to pick up an interception. Comes into Zane. He's looking for Sean. Sean's got the ball. He plays it out to Akinola on this side, just outside the Dartford box. What's he going to do? He's trying to get round Mead. He does. He's trying to get into the box. No opportunities. Comes all the way up to Sean. Sean's in the box. He goes down. And it does look like a penalty. The ref gives nothing. Sean did get a touch there. He's in the box. And the referee's given nothing. Dartford come away. And that, again, is another opportunity where the ref is just really not paying any attention to Sean Jeffers' movement. There was a foot in there, Pete. I couldn't quite see.
Yeah, foot in, caught his trailing leg and took him out. That's a penalty.
Looked a penalty from my side, but the ref's not giving it. Maybe the assistant referee has not given it. The referee now stops the game because Sean is down, so he has had contact. And Dartford going to the box. It's the captain who just heads it high. Tom has to get his head to it. Zane manages to get a foot, but it comes all the way to the Leonard again. He crosses the ball in. It comes to 14. It's a goal to Dartford. Aziz, Adi Aziz has scored. It's a beautiful left-footer cross from Danny Leonard on the left-hand side. Aziz this time got up high, and he got his head, slotted it into the top left-hand corner. MJ couldn't do anything, and to be honest, that has been their threat all afternoon there, Pete, and he's currently sent Auburn City nil, Dartford 1.
Yeah, that's the third headed opportunity within the 6-yard box, isn't it? Two of them they've missed, this one they've taken.
Saints players on the penalty box as we speak. What's Devante Stanley going to do? He crosses high and long. He's looking for Callum Adebayo at the back. He gets the ball. He goes down. He doesn't get anything. There's a shot. Oh, it's a goal. Tom Bender scores. It's 1-1 St Albans City are back in this. And we saw the ball carried down by Callum Adebayo. He went to floor. The ball inside the box. Tom Bender just hit it. It looked like the goalkeeper had gathered it. I think it's gone through the goalkeeper's legs. And Tom Bender has pulled the Saints back into this. Is St Albans City 1 Dartford 1. Tom Bender has just scored, and that is a fantastic opportunity for the Saints, and we're probably about 13 minutes into this second half, and we did say there's going to be an opportunity here, and who'd have thought Tom Bender, corner from Dartford, high and long, comes into the penalty box, cleared there by Tom Bender. What a defensive header, who's under pressure, but this is Dartford, come again, another ball in, it's a header, it's a goal for Dartford, the ball comes in, he's headed at the front post, and the substitution has scored for Dartford, and I believe it's Dan Roberts. They're in the half now. He's in the Dartford half. Zane Banton's got the ball. The Saints have to try something new. Zane turns. He shoots and he's blocked by there. But David Noble's got the ball in the half. He plays it back to Liam Salt. He's inside. He shoots. He's defended and blocked again by Dartford. A couple of shots from the Saints there. And it's gone out for a throw into the Saints. Deep in the Dartford half. And this is the Saints. Liam Soul's on the ball. Oh, intercepted by Dartford. They're on the attack. Number 15 gets the ball. He shoots and it's a goal. Dartford have scored again. That was sloppy. Liam Soul, he lost possession in midfield. And that was a little bit lazy. He was trying to find Kyron Wiltshire. Lovely play from Dartford. They played it into number 15. Dan Roberts, he scored 2.
Ian, 3-1 loss. However, first game of the National League South. I was just speaking there to the Dartford team, and that second and third goal came on the 92nd, 96th minute. It was 1-1 after 92 minutes, and you're thinking, this was a great game. It was a battle, wasn't it? Initial thoughts?
I think you just summed it up, really. It was a tough game. I felt they shaded the first half, even though we had a couple of good chances and a couple of, I felt, really good penalty shouts. But I felt they shaded up. They were a bit sharper to the ball than us. Disappointed to go in 1-0 down in the 46th minute. And that was a disappointment, because I felt if we could have gone in at half-time, it makes life a little bit easier. But I felt the players in the second half were fantastic. They'd come out, they'd taken the game to Dartford. And I could only see one winner, Graham, going into that last sort of 6 or 7 minutes. And I felt we were getting stronger, and we made some what I call positive changes to try and win the game. And I think we just got done with a little bit of quality, a little bit naive, players giving the ball away in wrong areas. But sometimes when the quality of the set piece it comes in, you can't do a lot about that. And I felt that was probably the difference that got them in front. And then we give a silly third goal away, trying to chase the game, trying to put the ball in wrong areas. But we gave the ball away cheap in that 96th minute. But we were chasing the game, so it was always going to be one of them. You know, if we could have got back to two, it would have been fantastic. But, you know, I look back tonight and I think maybe, you know, be a bit negative and take the 1-1 and make the substitutions or leave the substitutions. Don't try and be brave and put somebody on who you feel we can go and win the game. And it just went against us in the end. And, you know, we have to look back and look at all the decisions that have been made today and see if we've got them right or wrong. But I felt in the second half, you know, there was only one team going to win that. And I felt that was us. I felt we got stronger as the game went on and we created two or three really good chances. Could have had another penalty, but they could have had one. And there's probably five penalty shouts today. But as I say, we have to look at some of the decisions wasn't given today. And I struggle with some of them. And I don't want to blame referees or make excuses, but, you know, the players are sitting in there, they're despondent and, you know, they're adamant that two of them were penalties.
Mm. And we can all see from, and I'll come on to the yellow card, I can't quite see what that was for, but from our perspective in commentary, we saw a lot of decisions that didn't really go from an offside perspective. A couple of penalty shouts for the Saints, but also one for Dartford. And speaking to the Dartford team, you know, in particular Steve King, he's saying he would have been happy with the draw here today. I think that probably would have been a fair result, but it all got a little bit messy from the management of the game, from an officiating point of view, without going into detail into them, because they did a great job, but it just maybe stopped any momentum you did have in that.
I think you did right, Graham. I think, you know, as I said, I spoke to the referee on the way off the pitch, and I didn't think his performance was to the level of the game today. It was two very good sides having a go at each other today, and I've said all along, Steve, you know, Steve doesn't have poor sides, and they were a good side and they went at us early on. And it was a very physical battle, but you've got to stand strong in them battles. And I just said there, I didn't think the referee's performance today was to the level of this league. But we have to get on with that. We know that the referees do the best job they can do. But I felt he could have dealt with some situations better than what he dealt with it. I've got a player on the medical table and now I've got to go for an X-ray. Which for me was a red card when Romeo goes through. He's blatantly stopped from a goal scoring opportunity. He's through on goal, even though he's at a bit of an angle. But the only way to stop him was to take him out. And for me, you know, they're things you have to get right. And you can't give benefit of the doubt to that. But, you know, I don't want it to sound as sour grapes, because it wasn't sour grapes. I think today was two good sides of a real go at each other. We haven't been quite good enough in the end to take all 3 points.
Great to have the fans back. We had over 1,000.
Fantastic, yeah, fantastic. And they were brilliant as well, and they were really good. And Dartford had brought a few, and our lot second half were really behind that goal, and it was great to be attacking it. We just couldn't get them over the line, and I felt, as I say, I went into that last sort of 5 or 6 minutes, I really felt we were going to go and get something. And from us being positive and winning the game, we've ended up losing it, and it's difficult to take at this precise moment at the moment, because it is feeling a little bit down, but overall, I've got to be really pleased. You know, I felt the performance, though we're better on the ball than we showed at times today, you've got to give them some credit. We stuck in there when we were 1-0 down. We took our chance and got back to 1-1. And had a couple of half chances to go and make it 2-1. But they're back to defend for their lives as well at times, as we did in the first half. But I felt first half we just didn't quite get to grips with their movement. But as I say, we've got to take it. Tough lesson to take, and then we've got to move forward to Dorking next week, which is also going to be a tough game.
So not the right result, but we can see that you've still got that blend of the squad from last season. You've made a few additions, so they're getting comfortable, they're bringing into it. Final message for the fans?
It's just to stick with us. It's going to be, and I think this season's going to be a difficult season, because we still don't know where we're going to be with COVID. I think today there's another 20,000 people have got COVID, and you know, we've got to make sure that the players stay safe in terms of that side of it. You know, they do their lateral flow test 3 times a week now, but you know, any Saturday we could pick up 2 cases where people have got to be isolated, or Thursdays, and the squad is quite a small squad. We've gone with a smaller squad because we want to see the development of players. We want to see the development of the youth team as well, and the B team. And that's where we've really, you know, got to look at what we need and what we don't need. And at the moment, you know, it's you pick up two or three injuries, then it's really going to test the squad. We've got, as I say, Romeo in at the moment. Probably going to have an X-ray tomorrow morning to see where he is. And hopefully it's not too bad and it'll settle down over two or three days. But, you know, they're all the things we've got to look at. But, you know, it's going to be a tough league. Under no illusions today. There's been some really strange results in our leagues today. And I think on the day, anybody can beat anybody in this league. So we've got to take massive positives out today because there was a lot of And we have to take them and make sure we use them going into next week. Just iron out the one or two little problems that we brought on ourselves. And if we can do that, we're a good side. We've got good players, we're a good side, and hopefully the supporters will see that as the season goes on.
Ian, thanks for your honesty and your insight, as always.
No problem. Thank you, Graham.
The news, the views, covering your teams. From St Albans on 92.6 FM.
A great physical battle on Saturday down at Clarence Park, where the Saints just lost out to Dartford, so hopefully more results will come in the future and we'll keep you posted. So thanks to Ian Allison for his post-match reaction there. And moving on, he's Johnny with other local news to share what went on at the weekend with our other local teams.
Yeah, thanks very much, Graham. Of course, we just heard about St Albans there, sadly going down 3-1 at home to Dartford on Saturday. In other results, Colney Heath travelled up to play AFC Dunstable and sadly went down 2-0. Now, in the Spartan Premier Division, things looked a little bit more positive for our teams as London Colney beat Homer Green 3-1, Harpenden beat Crawley Green 3-2 and Leverstock Green beat Aylesbury Vale 4-1. So three out of three there for our teams in the Spartan Premier Division. If we move on to the Hearts Senior League, of course, a great result for the St Albans B team. They played against the Coney Heath reserves, battle of the two reserves teams there, with St Albans coming out 5-2. That was held over at Coney Heath's ground. Who else have we got? Harefield were the location for Sandwich Rovers, and they travelled down there, and Sandwich Rovers winning a thrilling game 4-3, absolutely brilliant, and Bellstone beating Royston 6-0. And in the ladies, Coney Heath ladies drew 1-1 with AFC Dunstable, which is a great result as they started their season. Now, looking ahead to next weekend, first of all, St Albans travel away to Dorking Wanderers. Coney Heath are going to be in action here at the Recreation Ground, hosting Harlow in the FA Cup. And there's going to be live online commentary of that game right here on www.radioverulam.com. Just click on the red button from round about 10 to 3 on Saturday. In the Spartan League, there is a new fixture that's been put in because both Leverstock Green and Harpenden were knocked out of the FA Cup. So they're playing each other in a league game this Saturday. That's up at Leverstock Green. That will be a 3 o'clock kickoff. Lev Green versus Harpenden. London Colney, they're at home. They're hosting the new Salamis, who are a new team to that league. Going to be a physical game, that one. Moving things on to the Hearts Senior League, Sandwich Rovers are away versus Chippenham Corinthians. That's a 2 p.m. kickoff. Coney Heath Reserves have got Royston. Yeah, they're away to Royston. St Albans B are going to be playing against Cuffley first, and that's going to be held at Hearts Uni. And then on Sunday, Coney Heath Ladies are away versus Wymond Town. Okay, Wymond Town. Before we get to all of that, of course, we've got football taking place this evening. We're really excited about the football that's taking place this evening. And right here, we've got online commentary of the St Albans B team as they're going to be playing against Sandwich Rovers at Clarence Park. So if you can't get down to the park tonight, make sure you go to www.radioverulam.com and listen to the live online commentary. I'll be down there, Graham will be down there, and we've got a special guest commentator. We can't say who it is. Now, as well as that tonight, also in action, there are a few of our other teams from the Hearts Senior League. And Bellstone, they are actually away versus Bush Hill. And who have we got? Oh, then tomorrow night, Coney Heath Reserves travel down to play against Wingate and Finchley Development. So there are all your fixtures and your results. It's busy, busy, isn't it, Graham? Back to you.
Thanks, Johnny, and great to hear all our other local teams with mixed results. But here we're going to go for some short messages and we'll be back very shortly where I get the opportunity to speak to one of our teams who had a cracking 4-1 result at the weekend in Leverstock Green. So Club Secretary Dean Bradford will be with me very shortly, just after these few minutes.
Find us on social media as RV Football and on 92.6 FM from St Albans. This is the voice of local football.
So I'm delighted to say we've got one of our regulars here on Radio Verulam's local football show in Club Secretary of Leverstock Green, and that is Dean Bradford. Dean, welcome back to the show. How are you keeping?
Graham, great to be back. Yeah, very well, thank you. Not bad at all. Good start to the season. Looking to kick on, really. So, yeah.
Excellent.
You caught a good time.
We've caught you at a good time. We were just talking there, weren't we, that you're top of the league. So tell us about your first two fixtures. How did that all go down? Because it looks like you've played 2-1-2.
We have, yeah. So, early days, of course. But you'd rather win your first two than lose your last two. Of course, it breeds confidence. So with the new management team that we got together in the summer, Fergus Moore with his assistants, Scott McLeish, Paul Marks and AJ, we kick-started pre-season, looked pretty good. Always difficult, isn't it, with pre-season to gauge results, but had a useful draw against AFC Dunstable, who are above us, beat a Hemel Hempstead 11 2-1 at home. We started against Bulldog Town a couple of weeks ago. Did well in that one. Good start. Good to get a home game under your belt. First game of the season under the lights at Levy Green. And yeah, a good 2-0 win. It was a couple of first half goals sort of settled the nerves, and then we just sort of kept them at arm's reach really in the second half. Always a difficult team, Bulldog Town. We've played them before. I think we've not actually beaten them at home before, albeit we haven't played them very much in previous seasons. And then off to Aylesbury Vale Dynamos on Saturday. And yeah, in the end, a pretty comprehensive 4-1 victory. So on goal difference at the moment, two weeks in, sit top of the league, which, you know, it looks nice when you see the league table in the non-league paper. But we do know we've got a long way to go. But I think more importantly, the infrastructure at the club is looking good at the moment. A good pre-season for our under-18s under Ross Bargent and Lee Robinson with our under-15s. They beat Harpenden Town 7-0 in a friendly yesterday. Under-18s have had some good results as well pre-season. But overall, just a good vibe, I think, at Leverstock Green as we currently stand. And I think that's as pleasing off the pitch as it is on the pitch.
Fantastic to hear, Dean.
And,
have you managed to get spectators back down to Pancake Lane?
We have, and they were very welcomed. We had a decent crowd. I think it was 105 people down at Pancake Lane for the opening game of the season. At all levels, just delighted. I mean, obviously, the Premiership over the weekend, it was just fantastic. Caps a good weekend for me, to be honest, being local to Watford at one. And my team at Tottenham, and we won against Manchester City. So all in all, I've had worse weekends, if I'm honest. Obviously, capped with a Levy win. So
yeah, that's absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely great to have him back.
It is, and that's wonderful to hear. And moving back into, so you've scored six, conceded one, so yeah. Top of the league, 6 points plus five. Now I know you told us on Radio Verulam's local football show last season that the club were making management changes and you kept us up to speed with all that.
Yeah.
And apart from the results, what else do you think has changed with that management change with the first team? What stands out for you so far?
I think two things, I suppose three in a way. Team spirit, definitely. Morale, team spirit seems to be in a very good place right now. I would say fitness, going down there and seeing the pre-season training, the sort of hit routines and the intensity really put on fitness, and definitely seen a difference in some players from last season to this season already in terms of their fitness levels. Some really exciting young players such as Lewis Collins, Kian Wilkes looked really exciting on the ball. Some youth coming through now, Isaiah Noel Williams, some people will know his dad, Gifted Noel Williams, who's played for Watford. His son plays for us, and he started really well. He scored one, assisted one in the opening game of the season. He looks a really exciting talent. Also, I think what I would say is respect for the management team as well. I think that strikes me straight away, that the players, the relationship between the players and the management, that's been quite evident to me and quite pleasing to see. Obviously, Scott McLeish and Fergus have played at a higher level, which I think always does help at our level. If you've got someone like Scott McLeish, who's played for clubs such as, you know, Colchester United, and teams like that, where he went on and had a reasonably good career with them, won playoff finals, that type of thing, that does, I think, instill a little bit in the players who perhaps haven't played at that level, that kind of knows what he's talking about if he's played at that sort of level. And certainly Ferguson and Scott, they make a good team. Fergus is a more sort of, I'd say he's a slightly quieter one of the two. He's very assured. He has that, he commands a bit of an aura about him. Scott is very much the more vocal one, but he's a little bit of a cheeky chappy. He's happy to mingle, gets on, you know, makes an effort with the committee as well. But they both do, well, they all do, to be fair. And I think it installs a good team spirit, a good example. Is, you know, a little bit of a training session this week, but it'll also be, you know, Fergus said, can we get some pizzas in, open the clubhouse, and just have a bit of a bonding session just to keep the momentum going from Saturday's result, which as a committee is fantastic to hear. He just wants to keep that going. We haven't got a game midweek, but he still wants to carry on with that momentum going into Saturday's home game against Harpenden Town.
So early days for the new management team, but it's looking very positive from a results perspective, but also what you're sharing there with us is you seem really happy as a club secretary at this stage. And
very much so.
Is your squad now settled, or are you still looking to bring in a few players?
I think August is always a bit of a tricky month, if I'm honest, especially at our level when we don't have players on contracts. It seems settled, as settled as I think it can be, second week into August. But with the experience I've now drawn on being certainly a secretary and seeing ins and outs, I think players already start to find their feet perhaps a little bit. So it wouldn't surprise me if we sign a couple more between now and, say, like the end of August, although obviously we don't have a deadline, but just those first 4 or 5 games. I think all managers at our level, not just saying at Leverstock Green, managers, players, they kind of know within about a month if they're going to fit in or not, either from a good perspective or not necessarily featuring in the manager's plans. So probably expecting one or two, but I haven't had any to date since the start of the season. So apart from a couple of additions, and also there might be the concept of perhaps some of the younger ones, giving them some Step 7 experience, which we can do. Loaning out, we've had a couple that have gone to Chipperfield Corinthians for a bit of fitness, bit of first team experience. So we've had a little link in with them, but it also means obviously being in the Hearts Senior League and we're in the Spartans, they can play for both teams. So right. Having an arrangement with a club at Step 7, I think, is important for the Step 7 club as well as us. To be honest, like, we would be looking at perhaps a Step 3 club to have a similar sort of relationship with. So early days, but certainly very settled in the first few games. Yeah,
it's good to hear. You're right, and there's so much movement at that tier, and that can be difficult for management teams. But equally, if you're a player and you've got a decent management team, which it sounds like you have as well going forward, then obviously the player wants to stick with that manager if there's a success. So hopefully the confidence breeds.
Yeah.
So moving forward then, Dean, obviously it's been a positive start for Leverstock Green. Tell us your next home game and what the details are and actually who they're up against, because no doubt we want to encourage people to get down to Pancake Lane now that things are opening up a bit. And it's a beautiful little spot, isn't it, to come and watch some non-league football.
It is. Yeah. Had some lovely comments pre-season about that. Off the pitch, Bill Dawes and his team have done a fantastic job on the pitch. We've made some investments with some of the money that we've been able to get from grassroots level during the close down with the pandemic. So we've made some investments in some new equipment. So everything's just looking new, dance floor, for example. They're minor things, but to us, it all just improves the ambience. And yeah, cracking game to look forward to on Saturday, because it's a local derby against Harpenden Town. So should be a good one. Really looking forward to that one. So that should be a decent one. And then the Saturday after, we've got another localish derby at home to Dunstable Town. So the way the fixtures have worked out, we've actually had a few games sort of, obviously with home games, and then the teams that we've been playing away have been localish grounds to go and play out. So hopefully we'll be gunning for maximum points again and kickstart what's already been a promising start to the season. But yeah, Harpenden Town Saturday, local derby. Get yourself down to Pancake Lane.
Fantastic. That is definitely going to be a derby game. And Radio Verulam, we were up at Harpenden against Romford last week for the FA Extra prelim round. So we had a good look at Harpenden. And, you know, it sounds like you're on great track. We're looking forward to coming down to seeing you again this season. Thanks for your time and thanks for the update. And good luck for Saturday against Harpenden Town.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You are listening to the Radio Verulam Local Football Show. From St. Albans on 92.6 FM and online around the world, you are listening to the Radio Verulam Local Football Show.
Now, we've got another new guest tonight on Radio Verulam's Local Football Show. Johnny manages to catch up with the inclusion coordinator at St. Albans City Youth in Tracy Light.
So I've got Tracy Light with me, who is the inclusive manager at St. Albans City Youth. Is that the correct title, first of all, Tracy?
Well, I'm inclusion section coordinator.
There we go. Gosh, you see, this? I should have had that down straight away. There we are. Now, listen, what does that involve, though? Well, tell us a little bit more. What is the inclusive section? What does your role involve at City Youth?
Yeah, sure. So at City Youth, we've had an inclusive section for over 16 years. We've currently got over 70 players now, from 8 years old right the way through to adult, individuals who have a disability or additional need, or anyone that sort of struggles in the mainstream environment in football for any reason. They may find it too pressurised, and so they come across to us, and we have teams of all abilities. So there's sort of something for everyone, and we start with an intro to football from 8 years old, where players just get used to, you know, ball skills and just sort of starting with the basics. We've got under 12s team, under 16s, under 20s, and then we've got three adult teams as well.
So, and are these for boys and girls as well as, you know, youngsters and adults?
Absolutely, yeah. We have boys and girls playing in our section. Sometimes the teams are mixed, because we're still trying to encourage more girls to join in with the inclusive football, and that is growing. And we are actually starting a female-only team as well within the section, hopefully this season. So you'll see that coming through. But yeah, at the moment we are allowed to mix the teams.
Right. Okay. Because that's, you know, that's sort of a little bit different at the other sort of sections of the club. Now, listen, just tell us a little bit about this. You mentioned for players that for youngsters that can't perhaps cope with the normal restraints of football, or they've got some kind of perhaps disability in other ways. Could you sort of elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, of course. We have players who have, for instance, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, autism, ADHD, and others that maybe have, especially, you know, after the pandemic and effects of that, we've quite a few players with anxiety. So we're sort of seeing sort of a whole range of abilities coming, you know, that players that perhaps would struggle within a mainstream environment, but who find it less sort of stressful and less pressurised, let's say, in our teams. But we still play to a, you know, a high level of football, but it's adapted to the needs of each player.
And that's a really interesting thing you say. It sort of is adapted, because the coaching must be the key aspect really here, and the time the coaches have to sort of prepare things in a different way. I mean, who are the coaches? What's their background?
So our coaches, we have a really good scheme through the inclusive section, where we try to encourage our players who are coming through, you know, through the section into coaching. So there's a pathway there for them to actually, you know, get involved in the coaching, and then you know, get work sometimes out in the community as well. So two of our main coaches, Tom Ward and Paul Spink, are inclusive players who've worked their way through. They've got their level ones, they've got their qualification, and they've been coaching for nearly 10 years now. So they coach the under-12s and the under-16 teams, and they also coach the adults that come to us on a Saturday. We've also got Chris Samways, who's a volunteer, and he actually coaches on the Mondays with our adult teams, the adults that play in the leagues. And also Steve Mann, our commercial manager at the club, has kindly been giving up lots of time as well to get involved and help coach the adults. So, and then we've got Steve Ward, who's been volunteering with the club for over 10 years. And then we also have some other coaches who are keen to get involved and volunteer. So we have some Duke of Edinburgh students and some volunteers who are just interested in getting some experience. But we're always looking for coaches.
Right.
And at the moment, we are actually recruiting for a coach to kind of oversee the Saturday sort of the Saturday sessions, because we're looking to bring more experience into the section.
Right, okay, wonderful. So if there is anyone out there, do they have to have a level one, a level two, or?
Well, preferably at least a level one, preferably with some experience. But even if they haven't had experience coaching inclusive football, it's not that much different. It's just we do adapt things a little bit sometimes, but generally the coaching and the sessions that we have are very, you know, very similar to other mainstream teams, so it's not that different. So yeah, we'd welcome anyone to come down and meet us and have a look at the session.
And we'll give out your email address a little bit later on at City Youth if anyone wants to make contact with you about that. Now, listen, all these teams play in the yellow and blue, very similar to St Albans City, and they're sort of under that umbrella of City Youth. But as well as that, you've got some links with the Hearts Youth Inclusive Section. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So for the last 5 years, two of us have been founding members of Hearts Youth Inclusive Football, which is a community group of clubs across Hertfordshire, of all the clubs in Hertfordshire that have inclusive sections, which is still not that many. We're trying to, the Hearts Youth Inclusive are looking to sort of encourage more clubs to have inclusive teams so we can have more matches, because our players, like all their peers, want to play matches. They want to, you know, play competitively and get involved in tournaments and events. So the Hearts Youth Inclusive League, they put on regular tournaments, and we have a partner, the Hearts Youth Inclusive League have a partnership with Watford Community Trust, and they kindly lend the dome, the training dome, so the players get involved in, you know, sort of matches and tournaments and skills days and all sorts of things up at the dome quite often. And we also run tournaments all around Hertfordshire. So there's lots of opportunities for a lot of the players to, you know, play at Premiership clubs and get involved in things that you probably would never even imagine. So it's great.
I mean, football is the nation's game, and you know, it has lots of good press, lots of bad press. Is this one aspect of the game that is developing or needs to develop more on a sort of national level?
It needs a lot of work still. There's only a sort of a few hundred players in Hertfordshire playing in inclusive sections. That's not to say that some players who have additional needs may be playing in mainstream, and some teams are including those players. So it just depends on the, you know, each individual really. But yeah, it does need a lot more work. And I know that it's something that is being looked at. And you know, as the girls' football has come through more and more, then hopefully disability football will follow and get sort of more clubs starting inclusive football.
I mean, City Youth are an incredible club. I mean, one of the biggest sort of clubs in the country. Do you think we could get to a stage one day, Tracy, where you've got your sort of your Arsenals, your Liverpools, your Manchester Cities having their sort of own branches and having their inclusive teams compete in leagues?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd love to see that. I mean, I know they a lot of the clubs already do have a lot of sessions and training sessions running, and some of the big tournaments. You may have seen the Disability Cup on the on BT Sport a couple of weeks ago. So there's only they're for sort of specific pathways that are running through the FA, and they had the Disability Cup televised for the first time I believe, a couple of weeks ago, which is amazing. And when we go to tournaments, we do, you know, we do often play against other inclusive teams from some of the Premiership clubs.
Wow.
But in terms of, yeah, in terms of really, you know, raising its game, then, yeah, we hope to see a lot more.
Yeah, that would be a lovely thing to actually sort of work towards.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, going back towards a City Youth, you mentioned about some of the teams playing in leagues, going into London and playing in leagues. These are competitive games, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah. The Middlesex League and the Hearts League and the County Cup, they're all, you know, competitive matches. The level of football is very high. And, you know, again, it's just we tend to with the I know with the Hearts Youth Inclusive League, we have two kind of a championship and premiership sort of tournaments, so that we make sure that sort of the abilities are fairly even. It's, and then we need to sort of adapt sometimes. Some players might need a little bit of extra time on the ball. But it's just, yeah, but they are competitive matches and that's what the players want.
That's lovely.
They want to play football. Just want to play football like everyone else.
Yeah, indeed. And they're sponsored, of course, the City Youth Teams. They're sponsored by Marshalls VW in St Albans. That's correct,
yeah,
isn't it?
Marshalls VW St Albans kindly sponsor the inclusive section at City Youth. Yeah. We're very grateful to them because it means that we can, you know, really expand the section and offer more football to more individuals in the local area.
And just very quickly, just tell us a little bit about Tom Ward, because he's sort of a really great example to many of the youngsters that have gone through. Tell us about Tom's journey.
Tom Ward started probably over 10, 15 years ago, I think, with the section, and then the section's been running 16 years now. And he's, you know, worked his way through, and his football's come on such a lot that he ended up playing with for the Special Olympics. And they went out, if you look on our website, there's a case study there about him going out to Abu Dhabi, I think, and they won gold in the final there. So yeah, he's a great role model for our players.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. It's great to have sort of role models for people and for all the players to sort of target and try and emulate as well. Now, listen, Tracy, if anyone is listening, and either from a coaching point of view, or perhaps they know some youngsters that would be perfect and they'd like to sort of give it a try, what's the best way of kind of getting in touch with you?
So the best way is to email me at inclusion@cityyouthfc.com.
So inclusion@cityyouthfc.com. Sorry, can I just make sure we got that right? Yeah.
Thank you. And always happy to have a chat with players or coaches, anyone that wants to get involved with the section. We're always pleased to, you know, come down, see us on our training session and, yeah, get involved.
And it's, as you say, it's an exciting part of this incredible football club that we've got in the local community. But it's an exciting part, and I can just see it growing. Is that the aim? Is that where you see this developing even further?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we've been really lucky with the club to have been running this for so long anyway. We're getting more and more players wanting to get involved and get, you know, and start playing, and especially from a young age as well, we're keen to sort of encourage the young ones through, just as they do in the mainstream teams as well. It's going to be growing. It's already, we've already got 12 new players signed up for this season coming already. And that's without our promotion really starting properly yet.
Excellent. And listen, so you're available on that email, but if people want to get in contact as well, if you go to cityyouthfc.co.uk and just click on the inclusive section on the website as well, there's lots of information there that people can sort of catch up with and find out more about this wonderful section. Listen, Tracy, thank you ever so much for your time, and it'd be great to catch up with you again a little bit later on in the season and find out how things are going.
No, thank you very much for your interest.
This is the voice of local football.
Great insight there from Tracy Light, who is the City Youth Inclusion Coordinator. Now, down at the Saints, it's been a really interesting season so far. We've obviously got the academy up and running with Dean Austin, and that's blended nicely into the first team squad with Ian Allison. And last season, two of their youngsters, Hugh Dawson and Alex Lancashire, broke their way through to the first team, and they've had some game time. And in particular, on Saturday, there's a debut from one of them youngsters. at 65 minutes at least in the National League South against Dartford. So hopefully plenty more to come from this youngster in Hugh Dawson. So Chris Tillin managed to catch up with you to discuss a little bit more about how he got on and how he went through his debut for St Albans City.
Hi Hugh, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, feeling good. It was a good game yesterday to make my debut. Disappointing result, but sort of great feeling to make my debut for the team.
Yeah, and it was a first for a lot of things for a lot of people. I guess new kit with Hummel, new sponsors, having a crowd. What was that like? There were over a thousand people attended yesterday.
Yeah, I've never sort of played again in front of any such numbers that, so it was a weird feeling. It was very different to sort of what I'm used to, but it was good at the same time, especially in the second half when the fans, there was a bit of noise from them. So it gives you an extra push.
And if I think a lot of those, there was a good crowd from the opposition. Dartford brought a good, quite a lively crowd by the looks of things. And I know we spoke to a few afterwards and they were really impressed with you. In fact, they said actually the game changed when you came off, which was probably a compliment to you. But you played extremely well and obviously held some great position in the middle, and with some superb passing. So I'm guessing that's a lot of that has come from the hard work that the team and you have all put in pre-season. So and I guess those pre-season games, how did those make? Did it really feel like it all gelled together yesterday? That first half.
Yeah, there was a lot of pre-season games and a lot of training, hard work and stuff, and it's all sort of been leading up to this first game yesterday. So everyone's sort of just been getting ready, getting fully fit, fully sharp, and it's been good in the game, sort of playing with different people and trying different stuff out. But yeah, it's all sort of come together, ready for the start of the season.
And how about the new signings? Was one that seemed to gel quite well when he came on with you was John Goddard, the other one that I thought always seemed to keep an eye on you was it Joy McKenna at the back there?
Joy was there last season as well. He helped me a lot. And John Guard's just joined. Very good player. See, yeah, it's good playing with both of them.
Excellent. And how did you rate your own performance?
Yeah, I thought it was a tough game. So it's never sort of played at that sort of level. But I thought once I got settled into the game, I started to settle down a bit more and then ended up enjoying it quite a lot. But something to get used to, really, because it's very, very different sort of what I've played before.
Yeah, yeah. What did you? Is there anything you could say? Wow, I must remember that. You know, what did you actually? Did you feel was anything you sort of learned from that performance yesterday? Think, wow. I guess because it was that first game in front of a big crowd, was that something that you thought? Oh, I must get my head around. I don't know the you don't get abuse in these sort of games too much, but. Were the things that in the game that made you think, well, I must take a step back or step forward? Was there anything like that stood out to you?
I think sort of just matching the physicality, because obviously it's men's football. Everyone's a lot more physical, sort of grabbing your shirt, little elbow, stuff like that, just sort of getting used to that and sort of then trying to give a bit of it back and sort of just get on the front foot, really.
Excellent. Oh, that's good. And what about the... So how was the buzz in the changing room beforehand? What was the feeling? Because I think that's something that a lot of us don't know is what goes through everyone in the changing room beforehand. Is it pump hard music pumped or is it quite a relaxed atmosphere? What goes on?
Yeah, everyone's focused on the game, and especially yesterday, having last season being cut short, everyone's been waiting sort of for this day for so long now. So I think everyone was just eager to get out there and play, and obviously everyone was very disappointed with the result that we couldn't get there. Get a win, but so before the game, everyone was focused on getting the win.
That was good. I mean, I thought the team were really, really unlucky. I mean, it was 1-1 all the way through till about the 90th. I can't remember, their second goal was in about the late 80s, early 90th minute, wasn't it? It was something.
Yeah, it was a tough one to take. Yeah, so late.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. And what did what was Ian's comments afterwards? Was there anything that he sort of pointed out or anything you're allowed to say anyway? You don't say anything you're not supposed to. But I mean, how did he reflect on it?
There was a lot of positives with the first game back and stuff. There was a lot of positives to take from the game, but sort of just to let that lead slip away. And I guess it's a bit of game management and stuff to let the game slip away from us. But
yeah. Yeah. It seemed like the team played it was great, expansive football. I mean, it really did spread the whole way. There was no one area, I thought, when watching the game that you felt that there was a weakness. It did feel like everybody had a role and was that the team was playing well. And I just think Dartford came along with quite a not an aggressive style, but as you just mentioned, quite a challenging style of play. They didn't shy away. And I mean, I know we do see this each week when we watch National League South, that the challenges that go in are really quite hard. And I guess that you've mentioned it, that stepping up from youth and academy football into senior football does lead to, you have to learn quite quick. So that's really exciting. So you and Alex, I mean, Alex didn't actually come on yesterday, I don't believe. So I guess what you both must be feeling, it's quite a step forward. And is Alex of the same opinion? Is he quite excited now to get going?
Yeah. Alex has had a very good pre-season. So he's had a lot of games and yeah, he's getting used to it as well. And sort of, yeah, he's excited for the season. So
brilliant.
I'm sure he'll get his chances soon.
Excellent. And I know, well, I saw the official title. They did a fan vote at the end of the game and they declared you the saint of the day. So well done on that one. I mean, that could be a new feature now for Radio Verulam, this football show. We might end up having to go after every saint on the following day. And that must give you quite a buzz, actually. I mean, I've seen the little clip on Twitter and it's quite exciting. So, yeah, well done for that. And you did. Your performance was really good. I think I sat there watching there was never a time when we watched you that we felt that you were you weren't in trouble, but you always had somewhere to go to. And I think that's what comes down from that great team play, that your teammates were always quite close by. You know, there was always an option for you to put a pass through to. And I think that was superb. And I think did you get a yellow card as well? I'm not sure.
Really. Yeah, I did pick up a yellow card, yeah.
Okay, is that your first
challenge? But
is that your first one officially?
Yeah, first official one, yeah.
Excellent. Oh, that's good. Well, not good, but does that come with a fine, a team fine?
Or I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure, to be honest, but yeah. it was a tactical challenge.
Well, that was it needed doing. It needed putting in. I must admit, at the time, we thought, no, this is something that he's got to go and put something in. But you know what, Hugh? It was great to watch you today or yesterday, and it was brilliant just being. I think the whole stadium was really. It was great to have fans back. That was the exciting bit. I know a lot of people have gone home last night, probably watched Match of the Day to see full stadiums, and I think. That's going to make a huge difference to the style of play and your play personally. As you say, you've experienced that now playing in front of 1,000 people. I'm really, really excited to watch you play in other games now. So, and again, I think there's a lot of people who watch you and watch the team are excited to see how you develop. So it's been really good. Well, look, I'm going to let you get on and, you know, thanks for giving up a bit of time this morning. And let's keep in touch and we'll catch up with you very soon.
Thank you very much.
The news, the views covering your teams. This is the Radio Verulam local football show from St Albans on 92.6 FM.
Well, once again, we've come to the end of another local football show here on 92.6 FM. We hope you've enjoyed the show, but rest assured we'll be back again next Tuesday from 7 p.m. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, check us out on social media as RV Football. We'd be delighted to get your thoughts and input. And don't forget right now, if you tune over to RadioVerulam.com and look out for the football red button, click on that to hear live commentary of St Albans City B team take on Sandridge Rovers down at Clarence Park this evening. So thanks again to all our guests on this week's show. So it's that time again to play out with a football theme anthem of the week. And we've decided to go with Newcastle United's theme tune in Going Home by Mark Knopfler. And that's really fitting considering we've now got fans back in stadia. Let's hope that continues long into the future.
Radio Verulam, the voice of local football. Sponsored by Romans of St Albans, your luxury sports and 4x4 specialists. Call Romans now on 01727 858000 or visit romansofstalbans.co.uk.